Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Here in the Northern Rockies, dark winter months are outlasted in basements, dens, and nooks where kindred souls gather together to share intel, swap fly patterns, and relive the memories from seasons past. This gathering spot, known locally as the February Room, is the inspiration for this podcast. No matter the season, the door is always open to those with a fly fishing story to tell. Here's your host, the Carnops, and this is the February Room.
The February Room is brought to you by Adams Built Fishing, quality gear for all anglers.
RioCraft. Fly rafts designed to last.
All Rod. Go anywhere, fish anything.
And Got Fishing. World-class fishing adventures.
Man, what a beautiful day on Bugmeister Lane, huh?
This is the 40th anniversary of the Bugmeister.
Is it really?
Yeah, one of the guys brought that up from the New York Anglers. Greg Belcamino is the president of the New York. It's the most prestigious fly fishing club in the world.
Okay.
You've heard of them, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But everything has a footprint of all the other flies. When I came up with that in 83, I didn't have a name for 5 to 7 years. And the transformer is kind of a convert. You can transform it if you're using muslin or gink. You can manipulate the wings to make them look splayed or tight, so that transformer transforms into stonefly, or you know, a non-aquatic insect, or a mayfly if you, with a muslin, right? Because it's stickier, right? And you can manipulate those wings so the silhouette looks different,
right?
Or you can have it as kind of a hopper pattern, and I use stunted wings on it, and sometimes long wing, sometimes elk tail with it, sometimes no tail with it, or how to shoot a shotgun. Yeah, I got into that too, you know.
Yeah.
And then, or how to tie a fly or a fish, or everything. It'd be about the stories and the incidences. And 90% stories are true. The rest of the 90% of the BS stories are true.
Yeah.
But a lot of them aren't. They believe the fictional stories more than they believe the true stories.
So there's one story that I've heard. Mm-hmm. That I've always wondered whether or not this is true.
Okay.
The leprechaun story.
He's not a real leprechaun. It's Skell Skrulliger. He's one of the Mikkel Shaska pumps. Have you ever heard of Barnum and Bailey?
Sure.
It's a circus.
Yep.
You know the history of Butte.
A little bit.
The mining and the tunneling and all that. And you know what a brothel is, of course.
Yep.
Butte and Billings and Wallace. Just, they all had huge brothels, even Missoula. But, though, you know, Butte is, their number in that county is what? Number one.
Yep.
You know why?
Because it was the...
It had the most people at that time, at the turn, when it went from 1899 to 1900, during that time period. That's why they're number one. Great Falls area was number two. Billings was number three area. Four was the Missoula area. Five was Helena area.
Helena, yeah.
Six was the Bozeman area. Seven is the Kalispell area. You know, most of them are, I think Missoula overtook Great Falls, but they're not, you know, keep it at four, but whatever. So I use Scale Skulliger Jeremiah McKeshask Pump the Third. That's his real name.
And sorry, what was it? It was
Scale Skulliger Jeremiah McKeshask. He's one of the McKeshask pumps.
Okay.
The third. And his only real claim to fame is, and you may not know this, one of his uncles or great uncle was one of the original Munchkins in The Wizard of Oz, the original 1938.
Wow, that's
have you ever watched the original?
Yeah.
And the flying monkeys and all
sure,
that. And,
yeah.
And I really terrifying. Get into that. So, you know where, so I named a lot of these spots. You know where Hillbilly Bridge is, right?
Yes.
Up here. I named that years ago.
Okay.
And there's this big story behind that. And then Burgundy Flats, you know where that is?
No.
Okay, you know where Harper's is?
Yep.
So on the old Harper's Bridge, you never knew that. It's burned down. And they have the put in and take out on the north side. They used to have it on the other side.
Right.
So we had a camp at Burgundy Flats, which, you know, since they released the dam, this doesn't even compare to how good a fishing it was before. And you've heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just so awesome down there. Fishing,
yeah,
the lower,
yeah,
it was. Well, even though there's still not a lot of fish
in 05, so I saw
yeah.
it was three years before they pulled the dam, I guess. I was down there.
It was good. It's coming back, but the way that they released it, the sediment really destroyed a lot of the insects
yeah.
in their life.
And, yeah,
you know. Anyway, I'll get back to that. So Burgundy Flats is about, you go down and there's a run in the middle of the road. You got that nice bank on your left when you put in at Harper's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it shoots out, and there's a seam kind of in the middle. And the inside seam starting at the head all the way down is great fishing. It mm-hmm. used to be. And used to go down there, park up, lock down a foot fish. But we had the camp in that area. And you know that area has a lot of willows.
Yeah.
A lot of willows. Some of them are real close to, you know, our camp was down there. And... So about a mile upstream from there were willows. And I told Scale, let's do a skit. Okay. So the McKeshask pumps were with Barnum and Bailey too. Plus their family moved and they did mining stuff.
Okay.
And a
so
lot
were
of
they living in Butte or Missoula?
They lived in the Butte area.
Okay.
And in the Butte area, they had big tunnels, small tunnels, but they had, you know, they used shorter people. So the deal was this. The big guy was in back, and Ralph, World War II vet. So imagine we're floating down, and I'm in the middle. To the right can be good water. To the left can be good water. And I said, Davis, what happens? Yeah, call him Dave. Don't laugh, but go along with everything that I say, right? He says, yeah, we're going to pull one on Ralph.
Okay.
You know, I prepped them.
Okay.
Prepped them good. So he's ready. I said, no matter what. I said, get the laughter out of you. So I'd poke him and lift, you know, and this before. I said, do not laugh. We're going to pull a good one on Ralphie. Because after the war, he became ultra rich somehow.
Huh.
You know. And I got story after story after story. We could go on, but we'll tell you this story. So Scale Skulliger brought a little trampoline, right?
Yep.
And I said, okay, we're going to set it up. And when we go by, we're going to not be close to the willows. Probably, see the gray boat?
Yep.
We're probably that far from the willows. But they were high.
Okay.
And so the trampoline was behind it. You couldn't see the trampoline. You know what I mean? If you look through there, you can't see the other side of
sure.
my gray raft.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Those are the willows. But the willows were higher. So Scale's job was to do flips on the trampoline. So it'd be going down, you'd see him doing flips. And then down and flips again on the other side of the willows, right?
Yeah.
He pulled one on me. when we go down there, Ralph was in the front of the boat all the time, right? Because he was like boss
that
man.
Guy, yeah.
And we're far enough away. So we got the bank over here. We got that. And no matter what. So we're going down there and Scal sees us. So there began the flips. He was freaking totally naked. So he pulled one on me. And we're over. And Ralph's in the front. Pull over! Pull over! Look at that! Look at that! And it's far enough. And Davison, I said, well, look at what? What are you doing? He said, pull over! Pull over! So I'm pulling over to the other side. No! The other side! Go over there! Pull over! I never did. And he's sitting there. And Dave said, what are you talking about? Right? And Dave pulled it off perfectly. You know? And to this, he's dead now. But to this day, we never let him in on the joke.
Never.
Never.
There was no leprechaun suit involved. That was
not
just
there.
An embellishment of
no, no,
that
not,
story.
Not
the
that
two stories get tied
everybody
together.
Combines it. You've heard the story about me going over Sleeping Child with the Japanese in the cooler, right?
No.
Yeah. It's up to five.
Okay.
It was only one.
Okay.
And I had one of those huge coolers, and I had some Japanese clients when they were flourishing in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep.
And I was highly connected with the University of Montana, Mike Manfield Center. Paul Arun was the director. He got me associated with... Have you ever heard of Paul Volcker?
Volcker?
You have. He's head of the Federal Reserve under under Kennedy.
Okay.
All the presidents. So okay. he wasn't a Democrat or Republican. He was for the government.
I was thinking Missoula.
So he was what there is, University of Montana, Missoula is a sister city for a city in Japan.
Right.
And the Mike Mansfield, have you ever heard of Mike Mansfield?
Sure. Yep.
So Mike Mansfield was the senator, and he was, you know, Democrat, but he really pushed, so we got the smooth relationships with Japan, so the sister cities, so the Japanese would come over here and teach, and we'd go over there and teach, because it's our sister city.
Right.
So, but the economy, these guys are all economists. Dr. Paul Loren was a historical guy, plus an economist. Dr. Noritashi Mabuchi was a very good friend of mine, and I met him, I won't get into that story, but that's for another time. Great guy. So that's why I went to Japan for a month. He invited me.
Oh, cool.
And we could go on and on and on. Let me tell you this story first. So we're on an overnighter. And Ralph, with the same people. And this is the, what night? Second night, I think.
Okay.
So we're at a campfire. Now, I prepped the guides. That Brian's not around anymore. And a couple of the other guides, I can't even remember, they're not around. And me, so we had three boats of guides, and they had camp set up people.
Yep.
So you'd float into it like the Smith, everything's set
sure.
up. So we go in there and get in, and it's still light out, right? So the tents are set up with the cots and everything, really nice. And this is downriver. This is right across from, you know, when you float Harpers to the tree, you've done that.
Yep.
You look to your right. There's a golf course, that big, beautiful, it used to be white, might be yellow house on your right with that nice slough coming in.
Yeah, by Frenchtown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's above the tree.
Yeah.
A mile and a half or so.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
So we camped across from that on the sandbar. You know what, you had trees, like fallen trees that you could sit on and use for firewood.
Yeah.
Beautiful camp.
Great spot.
We had bug spray. Outdoors, solar shower, all that stuff in the late 80s even.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of the original outfitters on the Smiths, by the way, too. But here we were, that was set up, and I had talked with a friend of mine, Doug.
Okay, yeah.
And do you know him?
I know him.
He used to own Montana Recycling. That's before your time. So he's a self-made businessman, great friend of mine.
Okay.
He's about 5'5", and he's a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And built like a kite, a hairy kite.
Okay.
Then hips that. He's 74 right now, but he can story tell too. I said, Doug, we're going to use you on a skit. You want to do something? So we just put the outline of what we're going to do, but then we just ad lib off of each other.
Yeah.
So this night, so we had the chairs around the camp, had the fire going, and the funny thing is two to three days before this, before we left, we had breakfast at Ruby's with all the clients. Before we were talking about what we're going to do on the trip, and all we had the clients and breakfast before we launched at Kelly Island.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an article about some guy that escaped, And I thought, hey, Dougie, you know what I'm thinking? He's, yeah. I said, let's make something out of this, right? Yeah. So he had a weird name. So my nickname's Mountain Man.
Uh-huh.
Because I really did studies with Jonkel and Bears and all that, and I've seen stuff.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm comical, but they got a serious part, too.
Sure.
And a very proud member of the North American Butterfly Association, too.
Yeah.
Because I'm really into butterflies and moths. I have been.
Yeah, yeah.
I just got some real good insect pins. And so a lot of my Facebook stuff and stuff, it's a lot of entomology. I love ballet and architecture. Mm. But anyway, so I said, Dougie, let's do something with this. He says, okay. We're at the fire. We got that going. And Dave is tall. He's like 6'6". And Ralph, 5'10". His son, his carpenter son, well, I don't know why he's a carpenter because Ralph was so filthy rich. But his son loved carpentry. His son was probably 40. Ralphie was, at that time, 70-ish. Right? Which, you know, isn't that old. But he's in pretty good shape. And had the other guides, and we were on the campfire. And nobody knew they had guns, but I prepped the guides what's going to go on, too. Kind of a little bit. So, we're out at the fire. The fire's going. And Doug can grow a beard. He's a businessman. And when he was younger, I mean, he has hair as curly as mine.
Yeah.
Or yours. You and me have the exact same hair.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just got a haircut yesterday for this because I wasn't sure if I'd...
Going to be on camera or not?
Yeah, I didn't. But then I forgot to shave because I was so busy. I wanted to, you know...
Sure.
But what... So, I know I go on tangents.
No, it's all good. I know this.
So, we got the fire going. And, of course, we have, you know, they're drinking gin or scotch or their favorite drink. We're on the fire, BSing, well, everything prepped. They're getting a little bit of munchies, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's starting to get, you know, the sun down, and you could still see. It's dusk, but, not, you know... we had the woods and everything. The tents were set up. Each man, like Dave, would have his own tent because of snoring. And so would Ralphie. Never shared the tents. Each one, you know, and separated for freaking snoring. And I always brought earplugs in case somebody snored too loud.
Sure.
And everything, you know, very nice setup. Yep. And here we are talking. And Doug's grow, like, he has the shit. When you're a businessman, he grows so much, his hit starts here.
Okay.
And he had business meetings all the time. So he'd have to shave, literally, he said, 3 times a day.
Wow. Okay.
Right. But I said, Dougie, let your beard grow for a week so it starts up here and kind of, you know. So he parked way up on Blue Mountain Road, and he walked down, and he had a bunch of skins, right?
Oh, boy. Animal skins.
Trapper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Trapper. Because he looked like a freaking trapper, a mountain man trapper.
Right.
So we... had the fire going, the guide standing up and looking around, and just, and all of a sudden you hear this voice coming up, Mountain Man, is that you? You know, and these guys are looking around, you know, because they're from Virginia, Pennsylvania area.
Yeah.
And the mentality is some people think there's still Indian battles up here.
Right.
Where are the Indian fights? You know,
yeah.
All this crap. But, so, he's coming in, and he is just laid out with the traps, no freaking shirt on. Grubby pants, because he's a bear here, and on his back he's a freaking bear.
Uh-huh.
Just, and at that time it was black. He's gray now, like mine. It was black hair and just thick. He's the Basques are super hairy people, and he got that. And here he is, a grizzled beer coming in, and he obviously put grub on his face to make it look dirty, and he had all these skins, and he put some blood dye on him around the mouth.
Oh, wow, he really went
for it. Oh, buddy, all the way. And then he had traps.
Okay.
He had rusty traps with him.
Like hanging around his neck or something.
Yeah. And a rifle, an old gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he walks in, Mountain Man, where are you? He said, yeah, I'm here. And I said, don't come in, you know, whatever I called him, because it was the name of the guy that
he did it escape?
In. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So this is where that's going.
Okay.
And the clients are like this. And he said, I'm just here to visit, you know. And I said, no, you can't come in here. You broke out of prison. And we got in an argument. You know, And the client's like, oh, my God, he's got a gun. And, you know, and he's coming in closer. And I said, no, you can't come out, man. Come on, you know me. I didn't do that. All this stuff, we're going back and forth. Because we were really good at this BS.
Oh, sure.
Professionals.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right.
Coming in and... Davis, you know, got by, was standing behind him, and I was barking at him, and sat, and Davis tall, right? So he's standing behind Doug, because he walked around Doug, and he goes, no, no, like, cut it out. Don't antagonize this guy. He's got a rifle.
Yeah.
That was Davis, the client, standing behind him. And I was, since he did that, I was antagonizing Doug, yeah, tried to start something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like this, and then all of a sudden, during that time period, Ralph and his son and the other guys were looking around, and three of the guides or other guys, they lifted up their shirt and they all had huge pistols.
Oh, no.
And they're like this, and the client's like,
oh, no.
God, he's got a rifle, and there's this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's going on, and Doug comes in. And these guys said, you want a drink? You know, because the clients were offering him a drink to soften him down.
Yeah.
But I was the one, because he was being more mellow than me. I was the one accusing him. You broke out. You know, I don't want to see anything for you anymore. And you're freaking, you're illegal trapping right now. It's not trapping season. You know that. They won't know it. You know, I can't even remember what we talked about.
Right.
But he had the he had the furs and all this. And the people are drinking it. And I didn't know this about Doug, I'll tell you. So we got down, they calmed him down, and they started talking with him about this and that, and he started telling stories. So it became amiable, and they wanted to visit him. But Brian would walk around and, like, nudge the client, and he was serious. He'd go, lift it up, put it down, walk around to just show, hey, we got this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the clients are like, oh, my God, what have we got into?
Right.
This could be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He pulls out a harmonica. I didn't know Doug played. That guy had, that guy could play in bars in Missoula with his harmonica.
Really?
He played it. The clients loved it. I loved it. They were drinking and relaxed and all this stuff. And then another thing happened. John, you don't know, he's a cop guy. Just a cop mustache, short cop from the 70s, 80s, you know, red hair, cop, thin, you know, just wiry, 6'1", thin. And he had like an official sheriff's hat on and badge and everything, you know. And we went on for an hour and a half.
Now, where did this guy come from?
He came from the Blue Mountain Road, too.
Was that part of the act?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So listen,
got
this,
it.
This is, you, oh, this is, wow, getting good.
Yeah, listen, this is detailed.
So, and handcuffs.
Oh, boy.
Listen to this. So everybody's loving. Everybody is absolutely loving this, you know, Doug, who's ever named. Let's call him Pierre.
Yeah, but I forgot the name. That he's the escaped convict.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That, no, buddy, listen to this. And so we go on and on, hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't know. The time went by, but we had a great time. They were drinking, and they'd be pouring alcohol into his cup to make him drunk,
mm-hmm,
to make, you know, Pierre. And Doug would, thank you, he'd take a sip, and when he wouldn't look and pour it out.
Dump it.
Yeah, because he had to drive home after this, you know, right, what I mean?
Yeah.
And after that, along comes the marshal.
The sheriff. Yeah, the marshal.
You know, and okay, he had dressed to the frickin' teeth, and he doesn't smile. You even look at him, he's dead serious. No sense of humor.
Jesus.
And he comes in, and the clients are saying, when he came in, and his presence came in, they're all surprised, you know. He's, how did you find me? All this and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're good trackers, you know. My grandfather was with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and we have a history of following people like you. You know, this whole spiel. So I didn't know what he was going to say, and he came off with a great thing. So this whole skit came in. Here's the scene, and the clients didn't want him to leave because they loved him.
Yeah.
What an adventure. We got guns to protect. What He's an drinking, adventure. And the harmonica music, mountain music, ballad.
Oh, my God.
You know. True mountain music with the harmonica.
Yeah.
Unfrickin' believable.
Yeah.
And listen to this. So we're going, he comes in there and he talks, and he mildly surrendered. You know, he didn't take the furs or anything. He kind of left the furs and the traps and all that stuff. So he walked out.
And all the guides are keeping a straight face?
Oh, completely.
Yeah. Okay.
Never let it go.
Yeah.
Never let it go.
Right.
And to this day, Brian actually became a sheriff over by Augusto or Shoto.
Uh-huh.
Brian, the guide, not fishy at all, but he was good acting when he's the one lift his shirt. He had the biggest pistol.
Yeah.
The okay. handle, you know, like a big cowboy big, pistol.
Yeah, Blackhawk or something.
Well, like from the 1880s.
Okay.
A huge 10-inch. No, it was his real pistol. Well, he didn't have it loaded.
Right.
But it was a real, it wasn't a fake pistol. It was real. Brian was into that stuff and jets for some reason.
Got it. Okay.
So here we go. And that whole thing, they went to bed thinking about that, right?
You let him sleep on it.
Oh, yeah. No, listen to this. So his son, the carpenter, went up and he examined those furs. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody else did. He examined them. And he was drinking beer. These other guys were drinking heavier stuff.
Uh-huh.
Nobody was drunk, but they were loose enough to where they wouldn't want him to drive.
That
in between. And his son had drinking mostly beers, might have had a few shot beers. But his son went over to the carpenter, and he's looking at the furs and stuff, and he noticed that they were all tanned.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because he examined them.
Yeah.
And they had glass eyes.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
So he knew.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, the next morning, you know, I'm sitting there laying there, and he woke up earlier than I did, which is unusual. And he said, "You pulled a good one on my dad." I said, "There's beads in those eyes." I said, "Listen," I said, I can't remember his son's name. Let's pretend it's Ralphie Jr.
Uh-huh.
Right? I said, "Can you keep this going for a bit? Don't tell your dad. We got to pull one on your dad." Because his dad's doing pranks to people all the time anyway.
Okay.
A lot of people do pranks.
Right.
Because we're all basically... I turn kid, when we guide, I like the clients where I can turn them into a kid again.
Yeah.
They might be a super, super hard-nosed businessman when they come out here to relax. But I got some stories up the butt you wouldn't believe what the clients do. You wouldn't ever think this guy would do that.
Right.
And they're hilarious. But you go on... Here we go. So, kept that story. So, we're going down the third day or whatever. We're going down. And I waited a day and a half to tell him. I said, "You know, Ralphie," at lunchtime, he said, "That whole thing the other night," "yeah, it was all a setup." He goes, "What?" I said, "Every second was a spoof. I pulled one on you, Ralphie." I pulled one on you. And he went like this. For the rest of the trip, it was a 5 or 6 day trip, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Because we slowed up, we hit the water hard.
Yeah.
Probably 5 day, 4 night. Four day, four night, something, whatever.
Yeah.
He'd just break out after fishing for a bit, and he'd think about it, and he'd go, you know, while we're fishing. And then 3 hours later, do the same thing, because he's thinking about how detail,
how intricate that was.
Yeah. We hit a freaking out of the park in that.
Damn.
I pulled some others on it. I'll tell you one more. Okay, before
you go. Oh, no. We're good. Listen to this. Please.
So there's another night we go down there, and I told them, I said, "You know, I'm the only outfit in Montana with an English butler."
So this is a different year?
Same year.
Same
float.
Same trip.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I'd already told them that we pulled one on them.
Yeah.
So we were down in an area. I can't remember where exactly. And I told him that I have a personal butler, an English butler. And my friend lives in Billings now. We did radio skits in the 80s. I was Barry the Brown Trout.
Oh,
and he does
okay.
Cartoon. He does cartoon voices to the T.
Oh, cool.
I can do a few. Like, stage left even. You know that, Snagglepuss?
Yeah.
He does them to the T. Popeye and Monty. Remember Monty Python? Or sure. Too young?
No, I watched.
He'd rattle off 15 minutes of that stuff hysterically, and he did Cockney English, Cockney,
mm-hmm.
and then he did proper English. You know the difference.
Yeah.
And he studied even before Ralph. He studied it for years because he was part time actor, right?
Okay.
So he studied this stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't know Ralph had his own English butler from England. Ralphie did.
Oh, he actually did.
Back, yeah.
Okay.
And when I told Ralph that, he never told me he had a butler, because he didn't know what was going on. And so one of the nights I said, our butler's going to be here pretty soon. And they said, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, hired a boat, 400 yards across, you row across, and you see a boat. And here in a true butler, listen to this.
Okay.
His name's Ron, call him Bisbane the Butler.
Okay.
Here we are. We're going, and I'm telling him, we got this English butler, he's going to be here. And they said, "What are you talking about, you nutcase?"
Yeah.
So we had the fire going and everything, and it wasn't dusk yet, before dinner. And all of a sudden, in the front of a boat, the boat only, one of the guides, and sitting up front like this, in a full English tuxedo, and he's sitting proper, like a Monty Python skit, and they're rowing across there. I said, here he comes there. You know, rowed across the river because they were nestled in a remote place.
But they must
place.
Know that this is part of the.
Oh, they knew that act, was. They right. No, they knew something was up.
Yeah.
But the way he acted, they thought he was a real butler. They thought he was a real butler that I had hired.
Okay.
They knew it was a skit.
Yeah.
But they, because I smoke cigars every now and then, provide cigars. They're cigar smokers.
Yeah.
Again. And so we're over there and we have the fire. We all have our chairs. And he gets off very proper and this and that. Yes, 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 sir. This, sir. And just like a true butler. An English butler. He didn't talk Cockney, very proper, and he knew the history of where people came to, butler schools and everything. I didn't know he knew that. So he came over, and of course, I would just go like this with my cigar, and all of a sudden, he'd be on my right lighting the cigar for me as I'm talking to you, kind of ignoring him and clasher. They're thinking, this is maybe he does have his own real butler, you know what I mean? But they knew it was goofy for me to have him out there. And it went around, and he would pour the drinks. He was proper, more, and you know, proper pouring of the wine and the drink.
Oh my God.
Everything to the frickin' tea, and including his suit. Because then Ralphie was smelling a skunk here.
Yeah. Right?
So he started questioning him, right? And asked him questions of butlers and everything about butlers. And to every single answer, Bisbane immediately answered properly. So Ralph was sitting, what in the crap? There's an English butler out here on an island in a campfire. I mean, he knew it wasn't my own butler. He thought I'd hired a true English butler.
Right.
Because
right.
He fooled Ralph, who has a true English butler. You know, you talk about fun.
Oh,
and now I never
God,
told,
man, this
listen,
is
I
legendary.
Never.
Like,
I never.
People must have just loved
are
this.
You freaking
like,
kidding
does
me?
This.
These guys in. I wish we had that. The guys from New Zealand interviewed me in the late 90s, the 80s, and they had a story about the bug mice holding in a campfire picture. I don't know what magazine, and I told stories, and they loved it.
Oh,
stories
sure
like this,
Kiwis
they sucked it in, because I mix a lot of truth, but my true stories are more bizarre sometimes than what I just told you.
Yep.
You know, so I have so much fun. Oh, Jesus. It's just, but the butler thing. And then there's, I can
does
go on.
Does any of this still go on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down at the lodge.
Okay.
Yeah, you should be part of it too. You look like you could
I'd
be
love
a,
to go
a
down
freaking
there
sheriff.
And watch some of this. I'd love
no,
to get in on
it. No, you should participate.
Yeah,
you should
please.
Hide, freaking hide
I
cameras.
I love this kind of stuff.
You could hide cameras around.
So the 40th anniversary of the Bugmeister.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And who's producing that fly these days?
Well, everybody produces it. I don't get any royalties.
You don't get royalties for that?
Oh, I used to from Orvis and the other companies, but it's like the Fox Garden, the hen house.
Yeah.
You know, MFC used to give me, and it'd be like very little per year.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't sell that many. Well, frickin' the
they're
Fox
in every shop.
But the original Bugmeister is tough to beat.
Yeah.
Because what I did, if you look up, I got strands of peacock, then I got tinsel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got elk wing.
Mm-hmm.
The original Bugmeister, just for the posted for our visibility, was calf tail.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went into, you know, Congo hair,
mm-hmm.
which is some sort of
synthetic.
Congo hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody's duplicated that thing all over the place, and it's not my exact style, so I don't care. It still works for them. But I tie very specific, kind of expensive Bugmeisters with splayed wings, unsplayed wings, a lot of elk, not a lot of elk, just for specific conditions. I tell people, you know, these are kind of pricey because I have the best hooks in the world. I have the best materials. I got, not bragging, but fly shops are envious of the materials I have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I still have an order of about 55 dozen to do for a guy up the creek.
Oh, wow.
And I got most of it done, but other people say, I need them now. And so, well, here you go. So I got to retie all these. And he wants a purple Bugmeister, which is really the purple transformer, and down to 18s. And then, what the crap? I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it because I got to keep my word.
Yeah. No? Well, you've had a most interesting life, John. You can say that.
It's just beginning.
It is. It is.
Because, you know what's, I don't know if we're on here. But man, I'm so thankful to God I can walk out and paint that. Like a year ago, I would have to grab the fence to get my mail and come back. But I got two new knees, a new hip, right? And you know, and all these surgeries, and I'm so happy. And before that, you know, the other hip, and then before that, basketball with the Achilles, and then basketball breaking my freaking, I don't know why I did that, broke my calcaneus bone. So there went bye-bye, you know, the dreams of always wanting to run and
right,
all that stuff. But I would just run for fun because, you know, when you're young like that, you got a lot of freaking energy. You got to do something with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a beautiful day out here.
What a beautiful day, man.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for
sitting down
with me and sharing some of these stories.
Go to thefebruaryroom.com where you can access a complete library of our podcast and read more about our guests, their fishing stories, and favorite fly patterns. We're always looking for exceptional fly fishing yarns, and if you have one to spend, shoot us an email at info@thefebruaryroom.com. The February Room is always free, but if you feel like throwing a nickel in the pond, we appreciate any additional listener support. For companies and individuals interested in sponsorship opportunities, please contact us for our media kit. Thanks for stopping by the February Room, and we'll see you down here next week.